Today we begin with the first story from our series, Australia and Its Neighbours, where Y reporters will investigate over the course of this week Australia's relationship with our closest neighbours in the Pacific and Southern Oceans. We start by examining the PACER Plus, a regional trade agreement being negotiated between Australia, New Zealand and 14 Pacific Island countries since 2009. Australia is driving the agenda, calling for lower export tariffs and more rights for foreign investors. But Pacific Islands want a development agenda, including special treatment for their tariffs and seasonal workers schemes. Pacific Island countries like Fiji and Papua New Guinea are concerned that the PACER trade agreement could impact negatively on local employment, government revenue and access to services and food security. Shane Anderson with this report.
The respected adjudicators, the distinguished guests, the opposing team, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the final round of the Melanesian schools debate held in Vanuatu, where high school students come together to debate the future of the Pacific. The two teams from Vanuatu and the Solomon Islands took on the topic, Must Melanesia Globalise to Succeed?
Kofi Annan, the 7th Secretary General of the United Nations, once stated, and I quote, "It has been said that arguing against globalisation is as arguing against the laws of gravity."
This debate, being mooted in classrooms in the South Pacific, is also currently playing out across 16 Pacific nations as they negotiate a free trade deal known as the PACER Plus, which stands for Pacific Agreement on Closer Economic Relations. Spearheaded by Australia and New Zealand, the PACER trade agreement promises to bring the global economy to some of our closest and smallest neighbours. It will achieve this by eliminating import taxes or tariffs in a bid to increase trade. The increased trade will in turn allow Pacific nations to achieve sustainable development goals. Australia Fair Trade and Investment Network's Dr. Patricia Ranald explains some of the changes PACER Plus could bring.
Many of these islands are very small. They're geographically dispersed and their populations are dispersed within the countries concerned. What PACER Plus is asking them to do is to agree to things like having a long-term goal or even a shorter-term goal of zero tariffs on any products that they produce and completely opening up other areas to foreign investment.
Negotiations began in 2009. 7 years later, Australia and New Zealand are confident the deal will finally be signed before the year's end. But not every Pacific nation is happy with the PACER Plus. This year, Papua New Guinea, the largest Pacific economy outside of Australia and New Zealand, pulled out of the deal. Shortly afterwards, Fiji, the second biggest Pacific economy after PNG, now says they will no longer participate in the negotiations. Dr. Patricia Ranald says this alone should set off alarm bells.
One has to question the validity of a deal which doesn't include the two largest Pacific Island economies. And we should note that the Melanesian group of island countries announced their own free trade deal between themselves, which involves countries like PNG and Fiji, the two largest economies, plus Vanuatu, the Solomons, and other Melanesian islands.
Even without these economies, Australia and New Zealand are still pushing the PACER. Australian Trade Minister Steve Chobo announced a $4 million readiness package to sweeten the deal. Pacific Network on Globalisation, known as PANG, believes this shows Australia's true motives in the Pacific region. Adam Wolfenden, trade justice campaigner.
It's commonly portrayed that this is a development agreement, and the then Australian Trade Minister, Simon Crean, at the launch famously said that there's nothing in it for Australia and New Zealand. Now, we would argue that that's a complete lie. Of course, this is strategic and there's a lot of economic interest. In terms of trading goods, the Pacific ranks as Australia's 13th biggest export market. So there's actually quite a lot at stake for Australia and New Zealand in terms of defending their commercial interests from competition from outside the region, from the European Union or China or the United States.
Unlike the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a free trade deal that failed following the backlash from Australia and overseas, the PACER Plus has largely flown under the radar. PANG's Adam Wolfenden says this is because of Australia's power in the Pacific.
PACER Plus sits very interestingly alongside the TPP. The difference being that in PACER Plus, Australia and New Zealand are the ones who are pushing this ideology and pushing this restrictive economic treaty onto another country. So in the TPP, Australia is a victim, and I can completely understand the community concern around that. Whereas with PACER Plus, we're the protagonists in this story. We're the ones who are pushing this ideology and this framework onto some of the smallest countries in the world. And if we can be upset about the TPP, then we should also be concerned about the impact that such an ideology has on the Pacific.
While the PACER has received little attention on Australian shores, Pacific voices are speaking up to question whether free trade is the best way forward. Here's the winner of the Melanesian schools debate, Vanuatu's Jonathan Guyant.
The recent Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement and PACER Plus are supposed to offer an opportunity to help Pacific countries from enhanced regional trade and economic integration. But do they do this for Melanesia? They encourage competitiveness, yes, but do not create a level playing field for the countries that are involved. Consider what huge economic setbacks globalization could bring to Melanesia. One of them is free trade. It's supposed to eliminate unfair barriers to global commerce and raise the economy in both developed and developing countries. But does it really do so?
Adam Wolfenden from the Pacific Network on Globalization also says we need to look at alternatives that benefit the Pacific region first.
You're so focused on a framework that's flawed for the Pacific. You're not allowed that space and that time to step back and say, well, what are the strengths of the Pacific Island countries? Not just in how that meets the free trade ideology and, you know, ticks those boxes, but how does it actually genuinely benefit the people?
Likewise, Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network's Patricia Ranald also says free trade is a distraction from the bigger issues.
When you're Kiribati and you're losing land from rising ocean levels, concluding a free trade deal is not your main priority. And I think Australia's relationship with these countries, given our historical position as a colonial power, which New Zealand also shares, should be focused around development issues and also assisting those countries to face their biggest challenge, which is climate change.
Dr. Patricia Ranald from the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Commission, ending that report by Shane Anderson, spoken by Emma Lancaster.